Reading today is from Acts chapter 8, verses 4 to 25. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the signs he performed, they all paid close attention to what he said. For with shrieks impure spirits came out of many, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was great joy in that city. Now for some time a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the people of Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great, and all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed, "This man is rightly called the great power of God." They followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with his sorcery. But when they believed Philip, as he had proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed and was baptized, and he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. When they arrived, they prayed for the new believers there that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them, they had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money and said, "Give me also this ability, so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." Peter answered, "May your money perish with you, because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry, because your heart is not right before God. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord in the hope that he may forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. For I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin." Then Simon answered, "Pray to the Lord for me, so that nothing you have said may happen to me." After they had further proclaimed the word of the Lord and testified about Jesus, Peter and John returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many of the Samaritan villages. This is the word of the Lord.
Okay, so today I want to start with one of the points that Leon made at the end of his sermon last week, which of course is a good place to start as today's Bible reading follows straight on, and ask a question: what's the connection between Acts chapter 1 verse 8 and Acts chapter 8 verse 1? Well, there's a reversal of the numbers 1 and 8, but there's also a reversal of the situation of the believers. Chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus tells the disciples that they will be his witnesses from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to the ends of the earth. Of course, then there's the tragic execution of Stephen, and following this is the onset of persecution for the believers. And they're then scattered throughout Judea and Samaria, which we're told in chapter 8, verse 1. So up to this point, the believers had remained in Jerusalem, and now they were fulfilling the command of Jesus to proclaim the good news in ever-increasing distances from Jerusalem. So it was the persecution that led to fulfilling what Jesus had called them to do. 1:8, then 8:1. It's a massive turning point in the mission of God. It was literally the start of world mission. This is a task that still has to be completed and of which we are part today. There's a course called Perspectives, which it tracks the spread of the gospel through the centuries. It shows how events, even events beyond the control of believers, how they've all worked together to provide the circumstances for the spread of the gospel. So over the years, the message of Jesus has literally gone from Jerusalem to the ends of the world, to the Americas in the west, to New Zealand in the east, to the Pacific Islands, to Africa in the south. And this is all working towards what Jesus said, recorded in Matthew's gospel. This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. This is the conditions for Jesus' return and the bringing of all things under his godly authority. So this all began in the Middle East region. Now the greatest resistance to the gospel is indeed in the Middle East, with less and less Christians in this area, in North Africa and in parts of Asia. It's what's called the 1040 window, between latitudes 10 and 40 degrees north. These are the regions that are most resistant to the gospel. Despite the terrible events going on in the Middle East today, which we're praying about and listening on the news and praying that it's not going to spread and get worse, but we need to hold on to the fact that God is sovereign. His purposes will be worked out even through the mess of it all. Missionaries from many nations are focusing on this area of the world. And the use of the internet is a powerful tool we use today to reach those where it's hard to go in person. So this is my first point today. In chapter 8 of Acts, we see the message of Jesus going beyond Jerusalem for the first time, and marks the beginning of the mission to the ends of the earth, for world mission. It came out of persecution of the believers, and what the enemy chose for bad, the Lord turned into good news. So the focus of the attention moves for a moment from the apostles to the ministry of this man called Philip. And Philip, he's one of those who's scattered. He goes to Samaria, where the people hate the Jews. And it was mutual. Philip, like Stephen, was one of the seven chosen for service to the poor in Jerusalem. But also he had the real heart of an evangelist. He was a Jew of Greek background, and this may have made it easier for the Samaritan people to relate to him, perhaps. People with mixed heritage can sometimes have the ability, a special ability, to cross cultural boundaries because this is their own formative experience. Moreover, the impact Philip had was massive because, as we've been told, he was a man full of the Holy Spirit. Philip had a gift from God to use his spiritual gifts in different cultures. It's a particular calling that is given to certain people. As a consequence of Philip proclaiming Christ, as we've heard, he was able to perform many miraculous signs, including healings and deliverance. This intrigued this man called Simon. Man, as we've heard, practiced sorcery and had amazed people from all walks of life. And he thought he was a great person and boasted about his achievements. I'll say more about Simon in a few minutes. But first, let's see what was going on for the people who'd now heard about Jesus and witnessed the miraculous signs. People believed Philip as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, and both men and women were baptized. The news of this got back to Jerusalem. And for some reason, the 12 apostles remained there. This is something that struck me when I prepared this sermon. I've read this passage lots of times, but not noticed that the 12 actually were still in Jerusalem. Why did they remain there despite the persecution? Maybe it was because they wanted to support those believers who'd remained. And the persecution had begun with the Jews of Greek background. So maybe the Hebrew Jews were not the immediate focus of the attack. Anyway, Peter and John went to see what was going on in Samaria. The Samaritans might be called sort of half-Jews. Over the years, they had embraced false gods and watered down their faith. And Peter and John wanted to check this new thing. These messianic Samaritans who were now following Jesus Christ. Could it really be that many of an impure and mixed Jewish background were now coming to Christ under Philip's ministry? What they discovered was that these new believers had not yet received the gift of the Holy Spirit. And this was unlike the experience on the day of Pentecost, when all the new believers received the Spirit as well as being baptized in water. This situation has raised questions over the years as to whether receiving the Holy Spirit is a second and separate part of initiation into the Christian faith. The way I look at it is that when we do receive the Holy Spirit when we confess that Jesus is Lord, because it's by the Spirit that we say Jesus is Lord. So the Spirit has come to dwell in us. But as I love it the way the Alpha Course explains it, this is like the pilot light going on in a gas boiler. But for the boiler to heat the water to do the job that it's designed for, the pilot light is not sufficient to do that. The control knob needs to be turned up so that the flame bursts forth and lots of power comes through the heating of the water. Similarly, for the power of the Holy Spirit to work in us, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And because we leak, then we need to continue to be filled with the Holy Spirit, which is what Paul says in his letter to the Ephesians, chapter 5 and verse 18. Keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit. As Jesus said, the Holy Spirit blows where he wills. So we can't pin down how he operates to say that there's an exact kind of methodology where it all works. What we know is it's the Holy Spirit that is the one who reveals who Jesus is to us. And then he is the one who empowers us and builds the character within us. Jesus gives the Spirit without measure. And we can always pray to receive more of the Holy Spirit. We can never have too much of the Holy Spirit. The one thing we cannot have too much of, and it not harm us, but actually benefit us. So going back to the apostles Peter and John, we can take their intervention as well to be a confirmation that the new Samaritan believers were indeed part of the one church. This was all new, and they were having to figure out what was going on. So even though they were of a different culture to the original believers, they were still part of this one growing church. And this truth wonderfully reflected here at the Good Shepherd, as we're from a variety of cultural backgrounds, but united in Christ. So let's now return to Simon the sorcerer, the one who thought he was great. But he also saw Philip performing these miraculous signs, and people were turning to the way of Jesus. And we're told that Simon wanted in. He was baptized himself. But what was his motivation for this? Did he really believe in Jesus, or was he going through the motions for personal gain? To be honest, we can all have mixed motives when we come to Jesus. We don't know the full picture of what it means to be a disciple, and we can start with imperfect understanding. But for sure, Simon was after his own ends. He offered money to Peter and John so he could also lay hands on people and impart the Holy Spirit. He thought he could buy the Holy Spirit. And there's actually a word called simony, which is used when people want to sort of buy an office in the church. Historically, these things have happened. These corruptions have happened in the church. Of course, it's about nothing that we give. It's about who Jesus is and what he's done for us. And Peter gave Simon a strong rebuke. "May your money perish with you," he says, "because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You've no part or share in this ministry because your heart is not right with God." Or the New International crude version is, "You can stick your money somewhere else." Peter could see that Simon was full of bitterness and captive to sin. If we compare Simon to Philip, we see that Simon's displays of wonder were magic manipulation, but Philip's were miracles from God. Simon talked about himself, but Philip talked about God. After Simon's magic, people followed him. But after Philip's miracles, people followed Jesus. We don't know if Simon did repent and come through as a genuine believer. It'd be great to think that actually through this dialogue and with his mixed motives, he did. We don't know that for certain, whether he just cleared off. We're left with his statement hanging. "Pray for me that nothing you have said may happen to me." Sadly, today we've seen leaders fall from grace. The latest one is T.B. Joshua. I don't know if anybody's heard about that, but he's had a massive ministry in Nigeria, but it seems that a lot of it was fake, and he was faking miracles. But we mustn't let that, you know, distract us, disappoint us. It's there in the beginning. There were people who were out for their own gain. And when my son went to Zimbabwe, and there was a twin with a twin town in Zimbabwe called Kadoma, and there was a church twin link as well as a civic link, and they had a football team, a church football team across the town, and he went and played there. But he went to a church with a leader from the West, not a Zimbabwean, but they took massive collections for him and for his family. There was a big picture of him all over the place. So sadly, these things go on, but the gospel still goes forward. So this account is a motivation for us all to constantly have our minds transformed, to grow our understanding of Jesus, to receive more of the Holy Spirit. We follow God because of who he is, not what we can get from him. So our response today is to place our trust in Jesus, to seek more of the Holy Spirit, to be filled afresh. And as such, our minds can be further transformed, our motives purified, our characters developed, and our spirits empowered to bless others, so that the mission of God can finally come to every people group in the world and finish what began as Philip left Samaria to, left Jerusalem to minister in Samaria to begin this whole process. So, what better response than to ask the Lord to fill us each afresh with his Holy Spirit? Jesus says, if we ask, we will receive. So, what I want to do is invite us all to stand and for us individually to ask for the Holy Spirit to come and to fill us afresh today as I pray for him to come and to minister to us. So, Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are here. Father God, we thank you that you sent the Holy Spirit through your Son, the Lord Jesus, and that those who ask will receive. Those who confess the name of Jesus will receive, because it is through him that the Holy Spirit comes, no other way. So Jesus, we turn to you again, we lift you up, and pray the Holy Spirit will come now upon each of us and will fill us afresh. So come, Holy Spirit.